Watching the whole team was just wonderful, but getting an opportunity to sit under the worship leadership of Emma Lee King is so special. She is one the first student from here at Cornerstone to be with us, and then this baptism, just amazing. I am going to close my sermon with sharing with all of us, but I didn't know what was going to happen, a situation that took place yesterday that I hope is going to be a real encouragement to you. So I'm very, very excited. I sense God's presence here. I don't want to say in a special way because that's a little bit overused, but I feel like God's presence is here in a way that is in full alignment with who God has called us to be as a Bible college and who God has already called you to be as a local church, and they're just coming together beautifully. And we started August 26th with 43 students, men and women. We have one passion and one passion only at Antioch College, and that is to prepare, train, and equip men and women for ministry leadership. It could be pastors, that could be missionaries, could be lay leaders in the church, but that's all that we're going to do, and we want to do that very well. There are other Christian colleges that are excellent and have wonderful programs. We don't want to be in competition with them at all. We want to follow what God has called us to do, and I believe, just, and I knew this, Pastor Sean, before I even came here, but just sitting down here this morning, that there are dozens and dozens and dozens, and I could keep saying dozens, but it would be obnoxious, right, of men and women that God is going to call and raise up and be equipped and either continue to serve here or be sent out for his purposes. So can you just say, may it be so? Say that with me. May it be so. May it be so in this place, because God is still calling people into ministry. God is still asking us, the local church and the Bible college community, to come together in the training and equipping. We don't want any of our students that are studying online to be void of the experience of the community of the local church. Because boots on the ground ministry, people cooking a home-cooked meal for them, speaking into their life, that along with all of the academic side brings together this beautiful combination in people's lives. So there's a whole lot more that I could say about that, but visit our booth in between the services. Amy Peel, our Director of Missions, where are you, Amy? I know you're in here. Just stand up, and would you thank Amy? She works so hard, so tirelessly helping our students. You can see her. We have merchandise on the table, and listen, this is what we do. All of the money that comes in, we put into what's called our annual scholarship fund to help students. And so we don't sell our merchandise. If you have a dollar on you and donate that, just pick one item off the table. If you have 20, we don't dictate an amount. It's more from the heart. We had a young boy some weeks ago at a church, and he came up with three quarters in his pocket. And you know it was the only three quarters he had, right? And he said, if I put this in and give this to the school, can I pick something? And I said, absolutely, you can do that. God isn't as interested in amount, is he, as he is in the heart of the giver and how that gives. So anyways, we're not doing an offering or anything like that, but visit. You can also get lots of information from the school. I'm going to talk more to the pastoral team here, but again, I think that this could be a site that could significantly grow over the next few years. Let me introduce my message by saying in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, takes place in Antioch, that there is a lot of movement that is going on there. There's teachers that are present. There are prophets that are present. There are folks there. Certainly Saul is there. Barnabas is there. Others are named. They are worshiping. They are fasting. God's Spirit is speaking, and the very first commissioning and sending out of missionaries, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, takes place. And what we love about that text in Acts, I'm not going to teach on it this morning, but this is as a way of introduction, is there is supposed to be movement all the time in the kingdom. We were not meant to come weekly and sit perfectly still and then leave and think that's the kingdom. We were meant to be on the move. We were meant to go on trips that stretch us. We are meant to walk over to our neighbor's house and help them with something and share with them. We are called in some cases to go to other places in the world. We're called. The gospel is about movement. It's about on the go. And in launching this missions week for you, what I want to do this morning is talk about what I call three Jesus things, all right? You know, the older I get, I just simplify things. You know, I used to try to come up with complicated long words from seminary. Now I just say, these are Jesus things that you've got to get to be people on the move. And that is the heart of this church here at Cornerstone. And I believe that what's going to happen today is some of you that have already been on the move in the kingdom, you're excited. God's going to show you next season. But I also believe that there are some of you that are here today that for the very first time, God is going to excite your heart, because there's this thing called the priesthood of all believers, which means this: you're not supposed to sit and watch people up here do the ministry. We're all called. Do you know that there are things that God has already set in motion since the beginning of time that are just for you to do? Significant moments. Don't outsource those moments to other people, but walk. But what are three Jesus things that you want, that you need to know? The text is Mark chapter 6. I'm going to read all of it and then talk to you about these three things you need to, these three Jesus things you need to be aware of as you're on the move in mission. So the story goes like this, beginning at verse 45. I think it's on the slides there. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to him to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And so they cry out, because they all saw him and they were terrified. And then where we're going to focus in on today, immediately he spoke to them and he said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and what happened? The wind died down. They were completely amazed, wouldn't you be? Right? I would be. For they had not understood about the loaves. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. The bread. And their hearts were hardened. Verse 53, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, I think. We'll just call it G. They landed at G. How's that? All right. And they anchored there. God, I hope in the next few minutes you will anoint me to communicate what you've put in my heart for this morning. I really sense this is the message for this day, that nobody is here by accident. No one's listening online by accident. And no one will listen in the weeks and days ahead to this message by accident. So, Lord, may I be your vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me dive right in. The very first thing you need to be aware of, the first Jesus thing is this. Jesus often speaks before he acts, all right? So we see that up there. Jesus often speaks before he acts. We see this in different places in the Gospels. When it was time for him to call his disciples, he went to them and he said, throw your nets down, all right? Follow me, and you will become fishers of men, fishers of people, all right? And it says they dropped their nets. Now, it doesn't say that 1 minute later they started the action of doing that, all right? Jesus spoke over them, and then it followed. This happened to Simon when he answered the question that Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And he said, Simon, now you'll be Peter, which means the rock. And on this I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, he spoke it, but the action of that we see unfolding, and it's still unfolding to this day with us. So you see, there is this pattern that takes place, these examples. Jesus illustrates and does something in this passage that will help you understand how he speaks first, actions follow. And so I want you to put up this first slide, and according to mine, there's three things he speaks and two actions. So put the first slide that is up there, what he does. All right, he says, and this is back in, need to get my glasses on, it's that time of life, all right? In verse 50 is when this happens. He speaks first because everyone is terrified. The disciples are on the move. They are on the next adventure, the next place that God is taking them, the next mission for them. And Jesus is there. And in the midst of that, they get terrified. And Jesus says three things. He says, first of all, take courage. Now, remember, the wind is still going crazy at this point, right? And Jesus is here. The boat is over here. He hasn't gotten in the boat yet. I just want you to point that out. He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Then the action follows. He climbs into the boat, and the wind obeys him. The wind dies down, and the situation is taken care of. Now, right now, you're looking at that saying, wow, that is just absolutely wonderful. But I want to show you what I think actually goes on in our heart, and it's that we wish Jesus would do this a different way and a different order. So go ahead and put the screen up, next one, with them side by side. When we are on the move and we are on the adventure and we're going to the next mission and something comes up that is unknown, that is a little bit terrifying, what we want is it for to go away immediately, don't we? We want the wind to die down, all right? Then we know Jesus is with us. He is here in the boat. And then we start saying, because it's all gone by then, I wasn't really afraid, right? Were you afraid? I saw you afraid over there. Yeah. No, I wasn't afraid, for crying out loud, you know? We start getting bold. We're not afraid. We say, well, we know that Jesus is with us. And then because all of that has happened, we stand like, take that wind. We're courageous now, right? Now that it's all taken care of. I submit to you this morning that Jesus says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And our maturity in going on mission is that we're able to live with them speaking that over us. And the actions will come later. Listen to this statement. There is often a gap of time between the speaking and the fulfilling of the action. Now, in this story, it happened pretty immediately, right? But often you get in a situation in your life, a challenging thing, you're confused, you're not sure how it's going to be taken care of, but in your quiet time, you hear those words being whispered, take courage. It's me, Jesus. And you know what? You don't need to be afraid. And we say, okay, but if you could just calm the wind down, okay, I'll eventually get there, right? And Jesus introduces what I call this faith season between what he's speaking over your life and the action that follows with it. I believe that that is a testing time. Some of you are here and God has been speaking some things over your life and you're waiting for the actions to kick in. And it hadn't been a day. It hadn't been a week. It hadn't been a month. It's been some years. And you know what happens during that gap is you get some people who are not as strong in their faith as you are, and they start saying to you, maybe you're a little crazy. Did Jesus really encourage that you're going to... And by the way, that was the very words that the serpent used in the garden in order to introduce sin. He said, did God really say, to Eve, did God really say? So I want to say to those of you that are in the gap this morning between things Jesus is speaking and the actions that follow, we serve a good, good, and faithful God. We serve the God who says, I am with you. I am with you. And I believe that that is a timely word for some people here this morning. Let me tell you the second Jesus thing you got to be aware of when you're on mission. Not only does he speak first, action second, but the second thing you need to be aware of is this. Misplaced amazement produces hardened hearts. Misplaced amazement produces hardened hearts. Now let me explain that to you. Put up on the slide there verses 51 and 52 because we're going to need to refer back to this for a minute. Jesus has just walked on the water. How many of you would say that's pretty amazing? Okay. Jesus has gotten in the boat and the wind has calmed down. How many of you would say that's pretty amazing, right? Look at what happens to the disciples. He climbs into the boat with them and the wind dies down. They were completely amazed. And then if we stop right there, what we think it would say is for, that's a little conjunction that means because he just walked on the water and calmed the wind and they were amazed who does this and wondered all about. But look what it says. Jesus, he says they were amazed because they had not understood about food. They had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. What had happened prior to this is a feeding of the 4,000 that took place, and they were curious a little bit about the bread. How is that possible? How is the work and activity of Jesus in our midst when we are on mission with him, how could that not be the focal point at all times? I submit to you this morning that the disciples are not the only ones that have been guilty of being amazed at the wrong things and not really the things that Jesus is up to. I'll illustrate it to you this way, and it's an illustration. My son and my daughter and wife, they'll be with us in the second service, and I always like to say, if I'm ever going to use an illustration involving one of them, I have their permission to do that, all right? So I have his permission, but I think it's a perfect illustration. When he was younger, maybe 5, 6 years old, I wanted to take him to a high school football game, you know? I mean, I wanted to pick out a great game that was here in the area. And so I did a little bit of research on it. There were a couple of top teams that featured Division I recruits of quarterbacks and some that had great defenses. And I noticed that some had an incredible winning streak. And so I did all this research. He got home from either kindergarten or first grade. And it was on a Friday. And I was like, Miles, we're going to have a father-son night tonight, and we're going to go to a high school football game and get, you know, bundled up. And but we have some choices, so let me tell you about these choices. And I began to communicate to him about this particular prolific quarterback that was probably going to, we might be watching him on Sunday mornings. Not Sunday mornings. We don't do that. We don't watch national football. Sunday afternoons or whatever. I talked to him about, you know, there's this one defense that been put together. We've only allowed one touchdown this whole year. We'd be good. These are arch rivals. It's going to be a huge crowd. And so we've got to figure out which one we're going to go to and just be in awe and excited and amazed by it. So which one do you want to go to? And I'll never forget, without any pause at all, he said this to me. He said, which one has the best curly fries and melted cheese at the concession stand? I said, I have no idea. I mean, like all of them. I don't know, you know. And he goes, but Dad, there are certain curly fries that aren't as good as the other ones, right? Now, true story. Misplaced amazement, right? Now, even though that's a cute, kind of humorous, sort of funny story, let me bring it into a serious matter with this statement. I believe that we have a major problem in the church with a capital C right now, and that is that misplaced amazement, taking our eyes off of the very thing Jesus is doing and looking over to the peripheral, is taking the fire out of our local churches. And you know, there are things that we need to do in the local church that is not wrong. It is wonderful that we have the right equipment to live stream and get the message that is out. This isn't a strip everything away and have nothing. No. These are very, very important tools. Where it becomes problematic, and it's not just equipment, it might be other things, is when we start to drift out to the edges of that is not the real thing that Jesus is doing, and we begin to come enamored or amazed in that, just like the disciples did with the bread. And it says that a hardening of their hearts began. And when a hardening of hearts begins, the fire begins to go out of a church. And I want to challenge each of you here in a day where we are tempted to look in so many different directions of where we might be amazed, to keep our eyes on Jesus and what he's doing in your life right now. That's the amazing thing. That conversation that you just had with someone that God ordained with you, that's the amazing thing. The trip that he is calling you to go on when you prayerfully consider where you are going to head in missions. It is always tempting to have misplaced amazement about different things. Well, let me move to my final point, and we'll have a little response time. Beware of this. Where you think Jesus is taking you is not always where Jesus is taking you, right? It's kind of a, you know, Captain Obvious there, but is it? Because we often think where he's taking us, we already know, and so we expect that. But he has another plan in mind. This happens to the disciples. Let me draw you back to the text. You can just listen to me on this, because you may not have picked it up. In verse 45, at the very beginning, they're in the boat, and it says they're going to go on ahead of him to a place called Bethsaida. So the disciples are like, Jesus is taking us to Bethsaida, all right? They're probably telling people along the way in other boats, hey, we're going to Bethsaida, right? Look where actually Jesus was taking them. They get down to verse 53, and it says, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. Am I the only one who thought I was going here, and somehow Jesus said, yeah, it's kind of actually over here. Thought we were going this place, and it was this place. And he does not do that to be cruel to us. He doesn't do that to confuse us. It's just that we often get in our thinking, we try to project what he's up to, where we're going to end up. But when every day is committed to Jesus is in my boat, he's guiding and leading, there are times we find ourselves on new shores and anchored into new places, and we say, so be it. This is where Jesus has us now. Proverbs says, in our hearts we make plans, but it's the Lord who directs our steps, right? Some of you have been dealing with some bitterness in your life, not because Jesus has not been faithful, but you've ended up in a different place than you thought you were supposed to be. And I'm here this morning to say to you, anchor there, because that's where Jesus has taken you. And he has purposes for you there. I'll close with this. Something happened yesterday. I had the joy in the greater Winchester area of being a part of this conference, working with rural church pastors, small church pastors, and had a chance to share with them about the school and ways that we can come alongside them and help equip them. And so in the main session, everyone had gone in. I was not going to be speaking in that session, so I was hanging out at our booth, and it was quiet. No one was there. It was just me in this room, like kind of right over that's in the cafe. And this young lady, who clearly was an employee of the hotel where we were, I think she probably was cleaning staff, would be my guess. She wasn't there for the conference. She was slowly walking into the room. And I kind of watched her for a little bit. And finally I said, hey, come over, tell me what's going on. She said, I'm so sorry. I don't mean, you know, to interrupt, but I just came to work this morning thinking, you know, it was going to be a regular day, and there are all these Christians in the hotel. And I said, yeah, we've taken it over, you know. And she said, I just want to tell you that I wasn't expecting this, but let me just tell you that when I was 13, I lost a very, very close friend to cancer. And she said, I got very, very angry at God, and I actually slipped into deep depression. She told me the state where she's from. I'm not going to say much more about that, just to protect confidentiality. And she said, I'm now here in this area, and I'm beginning to get better. And I feel like God is beginning to restir some things in my heart. And then I came to work, and you got a booth about a Bible college that is up. And I felt led at that moment to say to her, you thought you were just coming to work today, but I wonder if you came to the first day of the rest of your life where Jesus wants to take you. About that time, another pastor came in. We began to talk. We had a great moment of prayer over her life, and she's given us her information for us to follow up on. And I'm just choosing to believe that what happened was her work with was Bethsaida, but she's getting ready to land in Gennesaret. She's getting ready to land. And then this morning I hear this testimony. She was 19 as well. It's about the same age. No, sorry. Well, whatever. Everyone's young, young people when you get older, whatever. And what you shared, the vulnerability of that, and I want to say the same thing to you that I said to her. God wants to use what you've been through to make impact in his kingdom and for you to just enjoy the Father's love in your life, because you've been through a lot. But God's hand is on your life. His hand is on her life that I met yesterday, and many, many others of you. He's leading you. You may end up where you think you're going, but if not, you can rest assured if Jesus is with you, you're right where you're supposed to be. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you stand at this time? And I'm going to just say, lead us in a few things of response here, because I believe that there are some takeaways that God's Spirit is stirring in your heart, and I want to be sensitive to that. Why don't you take a minute and consider what was just taught, what was just said, and where's that moment that that you know that you know that you know that that point was just for you. Just for you. And hover over it. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, there's not a better time than right now and right where you're standing. You can just talk to him and say, God, I've lived my life in a way that was separate from you and displeasing, all that stuff. But today I sense through your kindness, your goodness, your love, you're drawing me to a place to say yes to Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I receive him into my life in Jesus' name. Maybe you're praying that's watching online. If you are, I want to encourage you before you leave today or email the leadership of this church. Say, I began my walk with Jesus today, and they will follow up with you and guide you and lead you. For others of you, I want to talk to you about the gap. Some things Jesus has been speaking, but you haven't seen the action kick in yet for that. God is with you. And today is a message of encouragement to you that he does not speak that which he does not follow up on. And his timing is not always our timing, but he is right there with you. You can take courage. He is with you. You do not need to fear. In Jesus' name, may that be delivered right now. Right now in the gap. It's happening to a number of people. I sense it so strongly in my heart. And finally, I pray for all of you who have ended up at a different spot than you thought, and you've been a little resistant. Today, I'm praying that you're going to leave here confirmed in your heart that you are right where Jesus wants you to be. And he has things for you to do there that is beyond anything you could ever hope or imagine. So God, may we be people on mission, people moving forward in your kingdom. All of us, 100%. Blessed be the name of the Lord.